Good morning. How's everyone? Blessed. All right. Blessed and what? And highly favored. I liked it. All right. I'm in the right crowd this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the third chapter. And I got a new Bible here, so it doesn't open to my regular places anymore, so I got to dig around too. Amen. Praise the Lord. John's Gospel, the third chapter. And let's look at verse 16. As directed by the Holy Spirit, he directed our pastors that we were not to start any teaching until we read this verse. Amen? And we found out that when you're obedient to God, it pays. Amen? I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with us. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that good to know? That God did what? He loved who? The world. See, you got that? God so what? Loved the world. But now, how did he demonstrate that love? He gave. But now, what did he give? His only begotten Son. He didn't have a bunch of sons like Charlie Chan, like son number one, go out there, son number two. No, he gave his only begotten. So in other words, we can say it this way. God so loved this world that he gave his best. He gave heaven's best, which was who? His son. And who's his son? The Lord Jesus Christ. But now he gave his son. And what was the purpose? So that whosoever would do what? Believe. Are you a whosoever?
Yes.
Amen. Whosoever does what? Believe will be what? Will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if all you knew was John 3:16, that's all you needed to know to go out into the world and share this good news. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Say this with me. I always like to have a confession before we begin. Say this with me. Say, I stay steady.
I stay steady.
During these unstable times. Regardless of what comes my way, God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in faith. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every In all situations,
I respond
in love and faith.
When the issues of life
come against me,
I am not afraid.
My heart is fixed.
I trust in the Lord.
My heart is established
in God's holy word.
I take the time to examine myself. According to 1
Corinthians
chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything that is in my life that is not according to your word. I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that? Do you receive it? Amen. Then it's yours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it's so exciting to be here this morning with you. And I like to, first of all, thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here. Amen. Now let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And like I said, this is a new Bible, so I gotta fish around here. It's not my regular places. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we're going to do is let's begin at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, and we're going to read from verse 12 all the way down to verse 29. Amen. How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? Praise the Lord. Good. All right, good. Because if no one didn't have a Bible, they can read along with you. Amen. So let's begin. I'm reading from the King James, so read along with me, okay? And let's begin reading at verse 12. And we're going to make some stops, but I'll make the stops and I'll let you know what we're going to do. Okay? Let's begin reading. Let's go. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, what's the question? What's the answer? No, right? Good, right. Verse 16, let's keep on going. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer to that? No, right? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now hold it right there. If you notice what we're talking about here, what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, many times when we look at this chapter, we're talking about what? When we look at this, we look at it as referred to what? The gifts, right? The spiritual gifts. But here, what Paul is saying, keeping it in that same mindset and in that same order, he's talking about members of the body. And what he's saying is what? That there are differing parts in the body, but it's still one body. Everyone follow me on that? Everyone got that? Now, think about it this way. Let's keep on going. Let's go to verse 18. Is everyone there? Let's read verse 18. But now hath God did what? Set what? The members, every one of them in the body, how? As it pleased him. Now follow this. Who set members in the body? God. He set them in there how? According to how they wanted to be? Or what someone thought they should be? But what? According to how he placed them as it pleased him. So this morning, what I want you to come away with and understand this is that this morning, right now, you've been placed in this body. You've been placed in the body of Christ. I'll say it that way generally. Each and every one of us who've accepted Jesus Christ, you have been placed in the body as it pleased him, the Father. Everyone got that? So you are right now in the body as it pleases him. See, so now it gets us away from this area. You ever notice some people, they always want to try to please people? And have you ever had that pressure on yourself where you wanted to, you know, you really didn't want to do something, but you did it because you wanted to try to please people? You figured if I do this, it'll please them, right? But the bottom line is this. Each and every one of us this morning has been placed in the body of Christ as it pleased God. So you don't have to worry about pleasing anybody else. Amen? Okay, verse 19. Let's keep on reading. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there what? Many members, but what? Yet one body. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now hold it there for a minute. Think about this. I thank God that my feet, right, are not my hands. You got that? Now think about this. What were your hands designed to do? Your hands were designed to touch and grasp things for the body, right? Pull things away towards, hold on to. Look at your hands. Everyone, look at your hands for a minute. Just look at your hands, wiggle them. Think about it this way. Do you think your hands were designed for your feet? If your hands was on your feet, what would happen? It would cause strain because your hands were not designed to carry the weight of the body. Okay, and I know some people are saying, well, what about people who don't have limbs and whatever? But you see, that's talking about adaptability. So God has made us in such a way where if something's missing, we can adapt. But all things being equal, what I'm talking about, all things being equal, your hands were not designed to be your feet. Your feet were not designed to be your hands. How many of you can open up your car door with your feet? You put the keys in there. I know some people can do it, but all things being equal, we don't do that, right? Because your feet were not designed to do that. But when the feet and the hands work together with the body, what do we got? A body functioning. Amen? Everyone got that? Now let's look at verse 22. Let's keep on reading. Nay,
Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Do you hear what he hear what Paul is saying? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying those things that we think aren't even important in the body are what? Necessary. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have ever seen your kidneys? But you know you got your kidneys, right? And how many of you are thankful and grateful to God that your kidneys are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, right? Your kidneys are not your nose, right? So it's the same thing here. What Paul is saying, he's addressing something. Now keep this in mind because we're going somewhere with this, okay? He's saying that these things are necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body, verse 23, is everyone with me? Okay, let's begin reading. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God has done what? God has done what? He did what? He tempered. You know what that word tempered means? He tailored it. He brought it in place. He tempered it how? He tempered it how? The body together, having given what? More abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Verse 25. That there should be what? No schism in the body. Now, what's another word for schism? Division, separation. So in other words, we can say this morning. Thank God that my body doesn't have a schism with itself. That my kidneys function the way they're supposed to function. My lungs function the way they're supposed to function. Amen? Everyone got that? That there be no schism in the body, right? Now let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. But that the members should have what? Care. Same care for one another. Let's read that again. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now think about this for a minute. Paul is using the body, right? Your body right now cares about itself. Your body is in sync with itself. Your body, even the littlest parts of your body, your body is complementing it. Your body's working together. And what he's saying here is the same thing in the body, right? That every part, because that's what we were talking about here. God has set what in the church? Every one of us, as it pleased him. So in other words, there's no big guy and no little guy. There's no super Christian and weak Christian. But what he's saying is God has brought us all together as a body, so we are to be one. But notice what he said. He said the same care for one another. So in other words, I want you to say this with me. Say this. Say, I am in the place that God has called me to, and it pleases him. What I do in this body is important to God. Now look at somebody and say, neighbor, you are important to God. You are important to me. See, that's how we have to see ourselves. We have to see ourselves as being important to God and one another. Now let's keep on reading verse 26. Okay? And when one member does what? Suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Verse 29, now he's asking the question, are all apostles? Are they all?
No.
Okay, good. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Now, where are you at? 30? I only said 29, though. But let's read 30 together. Okay, let's read 30. Let's just complete it. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly what? The best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, in this chapter, right, he's talking about what? Gifts, right? I want you to do this morning with me. I want you to underline that word gift. And we're going to change that word. Okay? In this lesson, you're going to find out what we're talking about. This morning, what I'm going to talk to you about, briefly, as quick as I can, because I have to give you a lot of information. Or I have to give you a lot, but I'm pretty sure you can take it. I want you to think about that word gift. But we're going to change it. We're going to change it to one word. Everyone say this word with me. Say grace.
Grace.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about grace for your place. You got that? Now, let me ask you a question. What is the definition of the word grace? Who can give me a definition? What?
Merited
favor. What's another definition? That's good. What is another one? What? I heard somebody say something back there. What? Forgiveness? Okay, good. That's good. They're all good. Now, what I wanted to do, thank you for your two answers. Those answers are correct if you look at the definition of grace. But for this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to look at the definitions I pulled up from one I got from Webster's Dictionary, Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Take a little sip of water. I have to say that. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines grace as this. I like this. It says, unmerited divine assistance given man for his regeneration and sanctification, a virtue coming from God. That's Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Let me read that one more time. That was good. Unmerited divine assistance. You got that? Unmerited divine assistance given man for his regeneration and sanctification, a virtue coming from God. Now, in W.E. Vines, I looked up that word grace. There's a lot of meanings for the word grace, but this morning I just wanted to narrow it into three areas for us. The first meaning of that word grace in the Greek is called charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And this means graciousness, divine influence upon the heart, benefit, favor, gift. You see that? So remember, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gifts concerning spiritual gifts. We could say it this way and be correct, concerning spiritual graces. Okay? You got that? Now, the other word in the Greek is the word charizomai. That means to grant favor, gratuitously in kindness, pardon, and deliver. But I like, in this one, I like, it says to grant favor. Okay? And the third word is the word charisma. Now, how many, we've all heard that word, right? We say, oh, he or she, they have a lot of what? Charisma, right? But now, really, what that word charisma means for grace, it means deliverance from danger. It also means this, and write this down, spiritual endowment. Okay? And it gives an example, religious qualification, miraculous faculty, and once again, that word, free gift. Okay? So what we're looking at, what we're going to look at this morning, we'll get back to 1 Corinthians. We need to understand that in the Word of God, that word grace has many uses in the Scriptures, right? Now turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're talking about grace for our place, amen, or for your place. John, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14. And let me know when everyone's there. Okay, I hear a few amens. Let the church say what? Amen, right? All right, that was a good song. Is everyone there now? Okay, let's read that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Now, let me read that same verse in the Wycliffe Bible. It says it this way. He says, and the Word was made man, referring to Jesus, right? And dwelt among us, and we have seen the glory of him as the glory of one begotten, Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word, that is God's Son, is made flesh or man and hath dwelt in us. And we have seen the glory of him, the glory as of the one begotten of the Father, the Son, full of grace and truth. You got that? Now, we're in John. Move down to verse 17. In the same chapter, verse 17. Let's read that. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? By Jesus Christ. Let me read that in the Amplified. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ. So in other words, church, this morning, we can say this. Jesus is what? The word personified, right? We can say that, right? So in other words, we can say this. We can say grace is Jesus. You got that? So if you're thinking about Jesus, you see grace. If you're thinking about grace, you're going to see who? Jesus. Jesus is truth as well, right? Didn't he say that? Don't turn there, but in John's gospel, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse, what did he say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father, how? Only but by me, right? So in other words, we see here, and we can agree, that grace is now manifested in the New Testament where we are. Grace is now manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I know you're saying, Brother Floyd, where are we going? Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. A familiar passage to many of us. But I don't want you to get too familiar with it. Amen. Is everyone there now? Okay, let's read that together. For by grace are you what? Saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now hold it right there. What did Paul say? For by what? Grace are you saved, right? And through faith. See? And not of yourselves. It's what? The gift of God. Now let me read that same verse in the Amplified. For it's by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves or of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. So in other words, God's grace has been extended to everyone, right? As we read in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. In other words, that's God's grace extended to everyone, right? However, in order to receive this grace, one must have to receive it how? By faith. Everyone got that? In order to experience this free grace, or this gift of grace, you have to receive it by faith. Okay? Now, let's keep that in mind. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm laying a foundation here for us this morning. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 and 2. Book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Because what I just said to you, I want you to see it in the scripture. Amen? Is everyone there now? Okay, let's read. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, how? By faith, where? Into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, let me read verse 2 in the Amplified, because it amplifies it. Through him, referring to Jesus, also we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So in other words, church, there's a connection between grace and faith. Do you see it? You see the connection between faith and grace? God has saved us. He's given grace, right? But what do we have to do? We have to receive it. How do we receive his grace? By faith. Okay, everyone got that? Good. I want you to see that. Now, what I want you to do, we're still in Romans, move down to verse 15 in the same chapter, chapter 5. Let's look at verse 15 and 17, and let's read this together. But as the offense, so also is what? The free what? Gift. Verse 15. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it again. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more what? The grace of God and what? And the gift by what? By grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Now, here's what I want to do with you. I want you to see what you can do here and what we can see. I want you to see this. That word grace and that word gift, you can interchange them. Okay? We could say it this way. But not as of the offense, also is the free grace. For if through the offense of one many be dead, referring to Adam, right? Much more the gift of God. And the gift, or the grace, by grace, or we can say the grace by the gift, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Now you're saying, well, why are you interchanging those words, gift and grace? Because I want you to understand something. Here it is. God's grace is a place, and it's called what? Salvation. But we enter into that place how? By faith. So by faith, each and every one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ, God's grace has done what? Come to us. Okay? So in other words, for the Christian, God's grace has come to you, right? But now also there's another part that grace has to do in the life of a believer. After you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, after you receive his grace coming to you, his grace is now going to work where? In you. Everyone got that? So say that with me. Say, God's grace is towards me in the form of salvation. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ, I have received this grace. Now, his grace is at work in me. And I want you to see that, okay? Let's turn in our Bibles to another area, okay? Now, what I want to do is this. When we talk about God's grace at work in us, because that's the next area you need to understand, God's grace at work in you. Now, when I thought about a person, the number one person I thought about was the Apostle Paul. So let's turn to the book of Acts, turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and just to give a little backdrop for time's sake, we know in the first chapter, in the first verses of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is on the, he's really Saul, right? He's Saul of Tarsus, and he's on the road to Damascus, and he's got letters that he's going to bring of certain people's names and that are Christians, and what he's going to do is he's going to persecute them, right? But while he's on this road in Damascus, what happens? He encounters Jesus. Him and his entourage encountered Jesus on the road, right? And it was in the form of a vision, right? And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why you persecute me, right? And Paul's saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then he tells him to go wait in a place for a servant that will come and tell him what to do, right? So now let's pick this up. Acts chapter 9. Let's pick this up at verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Is everyone there? Yes. And we're going to read from verse 10 through 16. Are you there? Yes. Okay, let's read. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named what? Ananias. And to him said the Lord, how? In a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done unto thy servants at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. Now, you know the interesting thing about Ananias? He was absolutely correct in asking the Lord that. See, because he knew. He said, wait a minute, you want me to go get this guy Saul? He said, man, listen, I heard a lot about him. You know, we know a lot about him, right? So he's not really being belligerent. He's just checking. You know, he's saying, listen, Lord, do you want me to go to this guy? But now, verse 15, let's read it. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So in other words, in the book of Acts, it appears that the Apostle Paul, what, immediately went out and began to preach, right? When you read the narrative in the book of Acts. But the truth of the matter is this. God just said something. He said about Saul. He said what? He's called him to do something. He's called him to what? A place. What place did he call him to? An apostleship. To be an apostle. So in other words, God called Paul, who was Saul, later his name changed to Paul, to be his apostle. The apostle means a sent messenger or a messenger, one sent with a message, right? Now, follow this. Paul is sent. Now, what we look at is then he's in the synagogue preaching and all that kind of stuff. That did not necessarily happen. We're going to get a little bit of background about this. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to hear in Paul's own words what really happened. Because we're talking about grace for our place, right? Amen? Now, going back, as you're turning to Galatians, keep turning to Galatians. Remember, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it says, God has set in the church, and we talk about them as ministry gifts. But really, they are ministry gifts to the body, those fivefold ministry gifts. They're ministry gifts, but with that office comes grace. Everyone understand that? So now we're going to see what happened with Paul, okay? Is everyone there now? Galatians chapter 1, let's begin at verse 15. Is everyone there? And we're going to read all the way to verse 23. Are you there? Okay, let's read. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me how? By his what? Grace. By his grace. Okay, there you go. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went where? Into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Verse 18, after 3 days. After what? You mean to tell me he didn't go 3 hours after met him on the road? How many years? Okay, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see who? Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they have heard only that he which hath persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. You got that? So in other words, what was happening here was it took 3 years. For Paul, first of all, Paul received this message from the Lord. He went where? Did he go to Jerusalem? No, where did he go? He went to Arabia. He went somewhere else. And how long was he there? For 3 years. But you know what was happening? While he was there, the Lord was imparting to him the message that he was going to send. Remember, because he told him, he sent them to preach to the Gentiles. But it took 3 years for Paul to get along with God and that grace, the grace of God being developed in him, the grace and to do the office of the apostleship. And then he came and appeared to Peter, right? Now, let's continue in this story. He came to Peter and spent 15 days with him. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, because that's where we are, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Is everyone there? Let's read this. Now, Paul is continuing the same narrative, right? Let's go. Then, how many? 14 days later. 14 minutes later. 14 months later. 14 what? Years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up how? By revelation and did what? Communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run and have ran in vain. Now let me just paraphrase this for you. What Paul was saying was, he went after 14 years. In this 14-year period, the grace of God, the grace and the place that God put him in, by faith, he moved into it. But then he had to grow in the grace and knowledge of his office. and the message. So as he was growing, it took that, what, 14 years? But if you notice, he said, I brought Barnabas with me. I brought Titus. So you see that in the place he was in, God gave him grace for that place. But it just didn't happen overnight. Everyone, I want you to see that. It didn't happen overnight. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that God has called you to a place. And God has called you to do some things. And some of you sometimes feel like, well, I can't do that. And you know why? Because you're looking at your own abilities. Now, in the natural, God has given each and every one of us grace. Each and every one of us has natural abilities. Your abilities may not be my abilities. My abilities may not be your abilities. I'll use myself as an example, and I'll use my wife as an example, because I didn't check with any of you to use you, and I need your permission. Hers, I can ask her for forgiveness. Okay? But now, come up here for a minute, sweetheart. Just come here for a minute. Just come up here. Come on. Come up for a minute. Okay. I'm going to kid. Now, here's what I want to show you. I want to show you God's grace. In the natural, God graced me to be her husband. God graced Valerie to be my wife. And you can use the same thing like you, Joe, and Susie, you know, everybody else. Everyone. But now, follow this. Her natural ability, one of her natural abilities that I know, is she's an excellent administrator. So she has the gift of administration. She's excellent at it. She has also the excellent, she has a gift. I'm just saying because I know her. So you know your spouse. You know what they have. She also is, in our family, I'm the CEO, right, of the corporation, the Floyd Corporation, right? But she's the CFO, the chief financial officer. Okay? No, because I got to be honest with you. That's not my strength. Okay? I haven't been graced with knowing numbers. My wife knows numbers like this. She's got them all set. Now, what we do is once a week we get together and have a board meeting. Right? We have a board meeting, you know. But the key is this. My grace and her grace are different. God has graced her to do this. So for her to do finances and numbers and things like that, it's easy. When she's on a job and I see her every time, she administrates. She can administrate easy. It's easy for her to administrate. For me, I have to work on it because that's not my grace. But you see, here's what happens. God brings us together. Each and every one of us has a gift. Now, one of the things I'm graced to do, too, is I'm graced to cook.
Yeah.
I cook. Now, here's what I'm saying. Now, she's a good cook, too. Don't get me wrong. She is a good cook. She cooks very good, but she don't like cooking. So for her, it would be work. For me, it's easy. I go in the kitchen, no problem. Okay, you can be seated, sweet. Thank you. But the point I'm getting at is this. In your life personally, each and every one of us, you have abilities and talents given by God in the natural. But what happens is we are supernatural beings. But God has also spiritual gifts in this place right now, this morning. Now, some of you don't know what your gift is. And I know some of you are saying, well, what is my gift? What is my gift? But I want you to stay with me in this message. We're going to get there, okay? Now, keep this in mind. We move in our places with God. How? By faith. Always remember that. I mean, those of us who are married, right? When you were single, you had no clue about marriage, right? But then when you got married, God's grace, if you ever notice, if you had a wedding, what happens is the minister, pastor, whatever, they spoke words over you, and you agreed to those words, and guess what? God heard those words, and there was grace to now, I now pronounce you whatever, whatever, right? Now there's grace to go with that place. But now in the natural, in the spiritual things, in things of the church, right? You may think about yourself, and I want you to see this. God's grace is in each and every one of you. And I'm saying that this morning because we saw it in the Word, right? God's grace enables us to move into the places that He calls us to. You got that? Now, I'm going to use myself as an example, but you can check, make a checklist of your own life. Okay, but I'm using myself as an example, so I'm not sounding my own horn, but I'm just using myself as an example. Now, here's an example. While I was in college many years ago, I was in college, and I was preparing for becoming an elementary school teacher, and I was student teaching, And my supervisor that was evaluating my class was back there where Chuck was. And I'm going over this lesson with my class. And in this school I was a part of, it was we did what they call team teaching. Any of you are familiar with that, team teaching? In other words, what it means is there's various grades in one class, and we teach as a team. So while I was student teaching, I was teaching the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. So here it is, I'm teaching a lesson on science and math. Okay, I'm integrating science and math. I'm teaching a lesson. My supervisor's back there. I give out my lesson plan, right? You know, you give out your lesson plan. They're back there evaluating it. And I'll never forget this. I'm teaching this lesson, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice say, "I called you to preach my gospel." And I kind of like froze, and I ignored it. I got to be honest, I ignored it. And I kept on teaching, and I heard that voice again. He said, "I've called you to preach my gospel." And it baffled me, because here it is, I'm in my upper junior year. I got one more year to go in college. Now I got to go and tell my wife, "Oh yeah, sweetheart, it's a change of plans, you know." I don't know how I even broke it to her, but the thought was, okay, God, if you want me to do this, I got another year to finish in college. You know, I got my major. I declared my major. Everything I'm doing has nothing to do with what you called me to do. But anyway, in that, and I'm condensing this, the Lord began to speak to me. He told me, he said, in tongues and interpretation that I had, he said, "I will send you to spirit-filled people." That's the best way I understood it. I'm telling you how I knew it then. He said, "I will send you to spirit-filled people." He said, "I will teach you my word, and I will equip you and send you." That's all I had. This is 1984. I'll never forget it. So anyway, God brought us to a place which was called RLCC, because we lived in the Bronx. RLCC is up in Rock and Nanuet. I didn't even know where it was. God brought us to a place, right, which was RLCC, right? He called me and my wife, and we had our two sons. One of our sons was a teenager. The other one was a preteen, and our daughter was a toddler. And we had no car. So we took a cab to George Washington Bus Terminal. From George Washington Bus Terminal, took a bus to Nanuet. And God said to do that. And we did it. And you know what? There was grace, because God called us to that place. So without getting on, just let time march on. So time marches on, okay? Then God called me, or graced me, to serve in the Ministry of Helps. Okay? We just got our car. Because I went before, and the head host recommended that I not serve because I didn't have a car at the time. So I said, okay. So he kept my application on file. So when I got my car, now I can drive up there, I joined the Ministry of Helps. God graced me. See, the place was what? Ministry of Helps. And how many of you know, you're in the Ministry of Helps, it's demanding on your time. You have to count the costs and their sacrifices. But you know what? God graced me to be in that place in Ministry of Helps, okay? So there was grace that went with that place. The next thing he, and I enjoyed it. The next thing he did was, while I'm there serving as a host, we had church school. They started church school at that time. And God graced me to assist a teacher in the church. I'm talking about a fivefold ministry gift person that's a teacher in the church. That was Minister Marlene. Now she's Pastor Marlene. So God graced me to assist her, okay? I didn't walk up to her. I didn't volunteer. It was none of that. It was all by the Spirit. And God used her to mentor me, okay? Because prior to that, I taught Sunday school in the other church I was, but I was always with the children. I was from the little ones all the way up to the high school, you know, young people. I never taught in the adults in the church I came out of. But God graced me to be an assistant in her church, in the church school with Pastor Marlene. Then later, God graced me to be a deacon in this church. See, I didn't think I qualified for it. I didn't think it was something, you know, on my agenda or I thought about. But when it was presented to me, I brought it back before God, and God said, "Will you stand in this place?" So I stood in that place. And I'm in that place because he called me to it. And in that place, there's grace to go with it. You follow me? So in other words, that's what he did. Then the next thing he did was he graced me to teach in this church. So I'm standing before you this morning as a person who's been graced by God to stand in this place. Because in my own estimation and how I thought about things and evaluated things, I never thought of myself teaching in this church. But God said, do it. And when I stepped over there, there was grace to go with that place. So I got news for you. The next place that God's called me to, I know if he's called me to that place, what's there to meet me? His grace. Everyone got that? So this morning, church, God has called each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. As Paul said in Corinthians, there is no such thing as an insignificant person. There is no such thing. That's why the enemy, he knows he couldn't stop you. And here's what happens. He knows he couldn't stop you from coming to church, right? He couldn't stop you doing that. But what he tries to do is put the brakes on you in other areas and say, oh, no. Oh, no. You can't do that. After all, look at what you did. Look at where you came out of. Look at what you've done. Think about it. Now, let's go back to Paul's example. Paul persecuted the church.
Yes.
But if you look at Paul, he sums it all up by saying this. He said, I am who I am because of what? The grace of God in me. And if you notice this, and we don't have time for it, but I want you to do this. Look in all of his epistles. Every single one of them, every letter that Paul wrote, the first thing he would say to the church there, he would say, grace and peace from our God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he would close that letter by saying, grace be with you all. Now, I got news for you. He was an apostle, but he was an apostle of God's grace. And remember I said earlier here, we saw it in Galatians. In Galatians, he stood with who? Peter, right? So he was 15 days with Peter. And if you look at Peter's two epistles, he writes about the grace of God. Because when he stood with Peter, and when Peter stood with Paul and fellowship with him, you know what Paul was talking about? He was talking about the grace of God. In the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, remember when Peter went to Cornelius' house? And remember, they were Gentiles? And what happened? While he preached Christ, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. You know what he saw? He saw God's grace in operation. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's grace is in operation in this world. If you don't believe me, we saw a little video clip, YouTube. How many of you got a computer? Go to YouTube, right? And in the little margin there where you do the little search, look for it where it says Muslims come to Christ. And what you're going to find out is right now, today, as I'm speaking, thousands upon thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ. You know why? Because of the grace of God. Nobody went in there with a Bible. I saw this one guy I saw on YouTube. I'll never forget it. He was a terrorist. I guess he was captured in some kind of camp somewhere because he was a part of the Hezbollah that would go around blowing up things. He was the top Muslim guy, right? He was zealous in what he believed. He said he got to the point where he started to feel a power, like he would know things about people while in the prison. So they would come to him, right? One night while in his cell, a demonic spirit came in there. And he was scared. He was frightened because he knew that presence, he said it was a presence of something in that cell, and he knew it was about to take his life. He said, so what happened was, and it pressed him against the wall. He said, when I was pressed against the wall, the only thing I screamed out was, Jesus, save me. He said, I didn't even know who Jesus was. He said, I didn't scream, Allah, save me. He said, I didn't scream, Muhammad, save me. He said, Jesus, save me. And what happened was God used that to bring him to a point where he began to question Allah. And he said, Allah, why didn't you save me during that time? Why didn't you do this? And then he said, God, if you're real, manifest yourself to me. And all of a sudden, he said, a bright light came into his cell. He said it was so bright, he fell down to the ground. Doesn't that sound like Paul in Acts chapter 9? He said it was a bright light, and he fell to the ground. And he said, and also he said he couldn't see the person because it was so bright. He saw a person come and take his right hand and put it on his shoulder and said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am your life. And he got up and he said, Jesus, are you Jesus? He said, yes, I am. He walked out from that point on. He said, I didn't know. Here's what I'm saying. I didn't know who God was until that presence came in. He said, I knew I was in the presence of the Lord, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So now here he is still in prison, right? He's trying to figure out, but how do I get to know you, Lord? How do I get to know you? A Buddhist. Now listen, he's in prison. A Buddhist came up to him with a book and said, God told me to give you this. Hand it to him. It was a Bible. It was a Bible in the language that he understood. A Buddhist brought it to him. Everyone, you understand what I'm saying? How great is our God? So what I'm saying is this. The grace of God is in work in each and every one of our lives. You understand what I'm saying? Now let's close with this. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I hope what you're getting from this lesson, as the Holy Ghost is bringing it this morning, that each and every one of us has been called to this place by his grace, right? Amen. Each and every one of us has a place in God, okay? Now, while you're turning there, I just want to say this, and I want to give a warning here. Don't try to operate outside of where God has not placed you. Now, one of the things, I've been in RLCC for 26 years, and when I first came, I'll never forget it, people would come, when I first came, because it was a big church, I came out of a little church, so just to stand online, when it was in Nanuet, we stood online, so if you're online every week, you know, I started to know the people in front of me and the people behind me, right? So we became friends, you know, as we were online, and all I would hear them say, oh, God called me to do this. God called me to the ministry. God called me to do this. God called me to do that. And never once did I say that. I knew God called me, but I said, but I got in here, don't say nothing. But then again, I was wondering, every person that I came across that said God told them to do something, when it came time in the church to do things, they did nothing. Okay, so I'm just telling you what I saw. But then again, what I began to see as I looked in the scriptures, I began to see a connection. See, God always calls those out of service. Yes. Where was Moses when God called him? He was tending his father-in-law. He was on the run, but tending his father-in-law's business. Where was David when God called him? He was doing what? Tending his father's sheep. Where were some of the apostles when Jesus went to select them? They were fishing. Notice nobody was at home. Nobody was a couch potato. You know what I mean? And the interesting thing was, even good old Matthew, where was Matthew? He was working H&R Block, right? But he was doing something. You follow what I'm saying? So in the church, there are many members. We're not all going to do the same thing. And if I'll give you an example here. I was going to do it, but I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine? I'm standing up. No, I'm not going to do it, but I'm just saying it here. Could you imagine? I'm assigned this morning to share the message. Could you imagine if all of you came up here with me and then we all have a message? How would it sound? Confusion. But thank God that we have people that have been called to serve in our media ministry. We have some that have been called to serve in the host ministry. We have some that have been called to serve with our children. See? So there's always a place for each and every one of us. But now, let me get back to this. Don't try to operate outside of where God has not placed you. Okay? Because there's no grace for that place. And you will fall flat on your face. All right, you got it. Now, Is everyone at 1 Peter chapter 4?
Yes.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me turn there myself. And we're going to wrap this up. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Are you receiving anything?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I pray you do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Okay? Let's read. As every man hath received what? The gift. Now, what's another word for gift? The grace, okay? Let's read it again. As every man hath received what? The grace, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You got that? So as each one of you, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. As each one of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as benefits, good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Amen? Now, let me read that from the Phillips translation. Serve one another. And that's what I want to say. When it comes to spiritual gifts and graces, it's never for your use and your benefit. It's always for the benefit of others. Everyone understand that? So when you're moving into that grace that God has called you to in that place, always remember it's to benefit others and never yourself. Amen? So let's keep on reading. I'm reading from the Phillips. Serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you as faithful dispensers of the magnificently varied grace of God. If any of you is a preacher, then he should preach to his message as from God. And whatever way a man serves the church, he should do it recognizing the fact that God gives him his ability, so that God may be glorified in everything through Jesus Christ. To him belong praise, power forever and ever. Now remember this, church, and we're closing right now. We are daily growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The place God calls you to will accompany his grace. But remember this, we access this grace how? By faith. Now say this with me. Say, God's grace, is towards me in the person of Jesus Christ for my salvation. I am saved by this grace through faith in Christ. God's grace is in me to allow the life and purpose of Christ to be manifested in me. The Father has placed in me in his, no, I'm sorry, the Father has placed me in his body as it pleased him. I have grace for every place the Father has called me to. For every place there is grace, I walk into it by faith. He gives me grace because I walk humbly before him. Every place he causes me to occupy, I will give him glory and praise. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the place you have me in. Your grace is sufficient for me in this place. When you move me into the next place, I will walk into it by faith, because I know that your grace will be there to meet me. Hallelujah. Are there any questions or comments about what I shared this morning? Grace for your place. Amen.